never touched anyone inappropriately.
This is power abuse, and it needs to change. And that means Governor Cuomo needs to go.
Hello, and welcome to a new edition of the Capitol Confidential podcast. This is Brendan Lyons, managing editor overseeing the Capitol Bureau and investigations for the Times Union. It has been a perfect storm for Governor Andrew M. Cuomo, whose administration is in the crosshairs of an FBI Justice Department investigation focusing on the state's nursing home policies and the number of fatalities in those facilities during the pandemic. Now, three women have come forward to accuse Cuomo of sexual harassment, two of them former aides. The governor has declined to resign, apologized if his conduct had offended those women, and urged the public for patience as the attorney general investigates the allegations.
I certainly never, ever meant to offend anyone or hurt anyone or cause anyone any pain.
For many lawmakers and advocates, the governor's pledge to remain in office is unacceptable. Today we'll explore those issues with someone who herself has endured the pitfalls of a state-run investigation of her sexual harassment allegations against former Senator Jeff Klein.
His actions. He's once again victim-blaming. And again, this is all part of the same playbook we see.
I'm Casey Seiler, editor of the Times Union. Join us for an ongoing discussion on major developments in the saga of Keith Raniere, co-founder of Nexium, the shadowy upstate New York organization at the center of the explosive federal investigation that resulted in Raniere's conviction on charges of extortion, sex trafficking, and more. We talk to former members of Nexium, discuss the latest news, and preview the likely next twists in this bizarre and disturbing story. You can find Nexium on Trial at timesunion.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. I am here today with Erica Vladimir, a former policy analyst and counsel for the Independent Democratic Conference. Erica is also an alleged survivor of sexual abuse herself and has endured, Erica, what I would say is quite a long ordeal with a similar allegation you had made against Jeff Klein many years ago. And in that case, it has the process that you've endured. Just talk a little bit about that too, because that is dragged out. And then recently you learned, in fact, the Joint Commission on Public Ethics is pursuing an investigation, but it taken so long to do that, that Mr. Klein is now using that in a court challenge to say that they no longer have jurisdiction. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's correct, Brendan. He is basically saying that the commission he personally asked to investigate my claims against him is no longer authorized or does not have jurisdiction, which is quite ironic. But this is what we see from classic power abusers, sexual harassers, is that once they are finally in a place where they're going to be held accountable, they look for any type of loophole to get out of that accountability. And Klein is using the court system to try and do that for himself. Whereas what we're seeing with Governor Cuomo is he is using gaslighting tactics, making this more about how the victims, how Charlotte, how Anna, and although he hasn't mentioned Lindsay, how Lindsay feels. This is about their emotions. This is how they interpreted his actions. He's once again victim blaming. And again, this is all part of the same playbook we see from serial harassers.
For the group that you're a member of, Sexual Harassment Working Group, your legislative priorities this year include a measure that would also protect workers who are employed by elected officials. It's unclear to me at this point, but my understanding, I guess, is that the executive chamber did not file the protocols that were put in place by Governor Cuomo's own executive order, number 187, that went into effect in December 2018. That required certain steps to take place, including a notification to the governor's Office of Employee Relations, which has its own issues, arguably, with how they handle sexual harassment cases. It didn't happen here. Do you think that this should have been treated differently? And I'm speaking directly to Charlotte Bennett's allegations just last year that Governor Cuomo had engaged in conduct, which under the definition of sexual harassment seems to fit, but it was referred to chief counsel. She was transferred to a new position. There's no indication that there was an investigation. Do you think that fell short of what was required?
Absolutely. And let's be clear, the systems that are in place, let's say that this did go to the governor's Office of Employee Relations. Those systems are also not supportive of survivors. As somebody who, you know, has been going through the process that's there in order to hold legislators accountable, the Joint Commission on Public Ethics, I can tell you from firsthand experience that even if it did go through the process, it is always geared towards and heavily imbalanced towards the people who are in power and are therefore the power abusers. And this shows that no matter what, we need to change these accountability systems. We need to have a complete overhaul, and we need to get input from people like the sexual harassment working group, like Charlotte, like Lindsay, and make sure that we can have those lived experiences inform what kind of accountability mechanisms really need to be put in place to hold people like Governor Cuomo, like power abusers, serial harassers accountable.
And the governor has come forward and finally answered questions on this matter. I was taken aback by his defense that seemed to be built around, I'm an old guy. This is the way we've always done things. My father did things this way. We were talking about 2019, 2020, this behavior by his own measures, his own the laws that he has helped enact doesn't seem to excuse that behavior at all. In fact, it was rather shocking to hear him say that he was sorry if he offended anyone. Did you buy his explanation in terms of it's just an old guy being misunderstood? You know, we always put our hands on people and kiss people. This is 2021. What are your thoughts on that explanation?
Yeah, I did not believe his tactic of trying to garner as much empathy as possible, even a little bit. He was clearly lying through his teeth, and you can see that much in the way that he even flip-flopped with what he was saying. I apologize for if I hurt anyone, but I didn't do anything wrong. His reliance on the fact that he didn't, physically touch Charlotte without even acknowledging the fact that he, you know, forced a kiss on Anna as well as Lindsay. He is clearly trying to evade his own, or at least his publicly stated moral standards, and the very standards that were codified in his not so great 2018 sexual harassment laws. So he's not even living up to his own standards, and they are a pretty low bar. I think it's quite insulting that he would try and rely on his father and use that as an excuse for the way he is acting when he knows it is wrong. He's trying to garner sympathy from the public and use that to his credibility when what he's really doing is gaslighting and victim blaming in every possible way using the same language. Everything he said in his press conference is the same thing that he said in that ridiculous statement that was put out over the weekend to try and excuse his behavior.
We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
If you're enjoying Capital Confidential, be sure to check out its sister podcast, The Eagle. I'm Jessica Marshall. Join me each week as we take a look inside the newsroom at the Times Union, the Capital Region's oldest and largest newspaper. We'll discuss the week's top stories, and we'll talk to the award-winning reporters who write them. Listen at timesunion.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. We're talking with Erica Vladimir, a member of the Sexual Harassment Working Group, about the sexual harassment allegations that have engulfed Governor Andrew M. Cuomo.
Many of the labor union officials that we've spoken to on this matter, in terms of how would this have unfolded for a rank and file worker or a manager or even maybe a commissioner? And to a person, they said, for the most part, although oftentimes we have seen bungled sexual harassment investigations, certainly within state agencies, but their belief is that the person at a minimum would be suspended or placed on paid leave, separated from the victim, and then the victim's allegations would be thoroughly investigated. In this case, the governor has options to stay in place as he's doing, and what we expected is to say, let the investigation run its course, please be patient. It's still unclear to me, by the way, if he's going to submit to an interview in that investigation or not. He may, but that's unclear to us. But he could also take a leave of absence. There is a rule under the Constitution that would allow him to step aside as unable to fulfill his duties in the shadow of this investigation. And he could also resign, which many lawmakers or an increasing number are calling for him to do that. That's the position of your group as well. Is that right?
It is. We are calling for resignation as well as an investigation. It is quite clear that Governor Cuomo does not deserve the privilege of governing New York and representing New Yorkers, especially when you look at the way he has handled, the experiences as they become public. I also want to kind of take a step back about what you said of labor unions thinking that, you know, if this was a rank and file member or maybe a staffer, that things would have gone appropriately based on the layout that you put out there. I don't believe that at all. I think in a perfect world, that is exactly what would happen. But we don't have that, especially when it comes to our New York State government. As you mentioned, there have been more than just bungles when it comes to state agencies. Jay Kiyonaga especially comes to mind, and the way that he treated people such as Patricia Gunning and the other women that he harassed when they were at the DCJS, OPWDD. But we also know that Jay Kiyonaga was passed around from agency and department for 12 years. And so to say that there is some type of, implementation or procedure that's followed is, excuse my language, but is frankly bullshit. And that's just of the experiences and the trauma that we know about. I am not naive to think that we have been able to hold all of the harassers and serial power abusers accountable. They are still making their way through the halls of the Legislative Office Building and the Capitol Building. They are continued to be passed around from agency to agency, and it's because there is no accountability mechanism in place. And when you have a power abuser on the top, in the form of Governor Cuomo, there is no reason for that system to change because he benefits from power. Gwen Hogan just put out an article, I believe it was this morning or maybe late last night, through the Gothamist, that talked, the kicker at the end was a former staffer that said, it's all about power. It is not about doing what's right for New York or for New Yorkers. And so of course, Governor Cuomo will not step away, especially at a time when his power is most present, which is during the budget process. For him to step aside would mean him relinquishing power, and power abusers are never going to do that.
And Jay Kiyonaga, it's worth noting that the inspector, he was finally terminated last July. It took quite some time to terminate him after the agency that moved to get rid of him. But in his case, it was amazing to watch how, like you noted, he became a poster child in one of our stories on sexual abusers and sexual harassers in agencies who are moved from agency to agency, especially when they have political connections or connections with other people, they get protected. And in his case, he gets moved, but when there's suddenly exposure, we shine a light on his situation and his wake of harassment, the IG does a swift investigation. That investigation comes out in the form of a letter that's written to the agency, not a report. The reports would be uploaded to their website. What we see now is this pattern. You saw it at the DCJS where the two attorney or the attorney and the other woman were buried for cooperating in Inspector General's sexual harassment investigation. The result of that was a letter from the Inspector General that to this day is still not public. We were able to get a copy, but it's not a public record. So you're seeing a pattern of keeping these cases buried unless there's news coverage, and then they'll release something or leak something to you. And now, as you noted, the responsibility has shifted to the governor's Office of Employee Relations. And we're hearing complaints from people who get trapped in that system about how those investigations are being handled, including their apparent lack of cooperation with the Division of Human Rights, which would normally have access to records of sexual harassment. I don't believe there's that free flow of information. So do you think the time has come for an independent body or some sort of panel, you know, of outside non-connected individuals? Do you think, in other words, that people have faith that the governor's Office of Employee Relations is going to get to the bottom of sexual harassment allegations?
No, people do not have faith that Goer will get to the bottom of these allegations or any allegations of power abuse, because they are essentially operating under the power of Governor Cuomo. The time to implement a truly independent investigatory body that can also provide accountability had come long ago. And we could, you know, we even saw that when Vito Lopez was held accountable. It took very long to get to the Joint Commission on Public Ethics, and he inflicted a lot of trauma on a lot of people and a lot of staffers. But nothing had been done even back then. And here we are, and this is a result of that, is that we are continuing to look at all of these instances of power abuse as separate instances. We are not connecting them in the way that needs to be, which is these are just examples of a culture, of a toxic power abusing culture that has been developed and maintained and even strengthened in Albany. And when you do that, when you take it piecemeal, you don't look at the system that is holding it in place and allows those experiences to happen. So what we need to do is completely tear down the system. That means completely tearing down Goer, the Legislative Ethics Commission, the Joint Commission on Public Ethics, and really instituting something that is not under the control of the governor or under the control of the legislature. And the working group, you know, is really looking into this. It is something that we support. And we also know, again, we need to have people with the lived experiences at the table helping to define what this body looks like. Power abuse obviously comes in all types of forms, and they are usually connected. Sexual abuse, sexual harassment is one way that power abuse can manifest itself. But when you have harm that is directly inflicted on other people, you need to make sure that that commission or agency or whatever it might be that's going to be the independent investigatory body is centering the humanity of people when it comes to who is sitting on that commission, how they conduct their investigations, and the types of accountability measures that they can bring against elected and appointed officials. And the only way to do that is to make sure survivors and anyone else who has been harmed by power abuse is at the table and helping defining what that body looks like.
I'm going to ask you to speculate just for a moment, but do you think he survives this? He is a very you know, ruthless politician at times. That's his legacy. You know, he is often has that Teflon to him. But do you think he gets through this?
He will not get through this because we will not let him. He might be ruthless. That might be his style. And people like to kind of use that as a way to excuse a behavior for him, much in the way that he excused his behavior at the wedding and the way that he, you know, physically touched Anna without her consent by saying, "I'm Italian, this is just what we do, this is just how our personality is." That does not make it okay. And that does not excuse his behavior. And we will not let this behavior be excused any longer. And, you know, we are, for whatever reason, at a moment of reckoning here in New York State, where a lot more people are paying attention and recognize that this is not just a style and a personality style or trait, that this is wrong, that this is power abuse and it needs to change. And that means Governor Cuomo needs to go.
All right. Erica Vladimir with Sexual Harassment Working Group. We appreciate you joining us for another edition of Capital Confidential. And we look forward to speaking with you soon.
Thanks, Brendan.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Capital Confidential podcast. And please remember to support journalism in the search for truth by subscribing to the Times Union.
Capital Confidential is a production of the Times Union. Jessica Marshall is our producer with support from the Times Union Digital Team and the Capital Bureau. Our music is Goodwill, courtesy of David Lombardo.
If you're enjoying this podcast, take advantage of all the Times Union has to offer and support our efforts to bring in you award-winning journalism by becoming a Times Union member today. Go to timesunion.com/subscribe.